What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. Getting on back. Oh, we're going to do two more phone calls real quick. And we're going to start with Curtis in Nevada. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just wanted to, what Trump is doing is that in anti-eschatology, everything being accurate is a strong point in the faith of Christians. And what we see, I think that after World War II, when Israel came back, that seemed to be strong evidence. But then again, everything seems to be scripted, and Trump, it's like he's following a script. That on one hand, he's kicking out, you know, he's draining the swamp. He's getting rid of, or saying he's getting rid of all these.
He's saying it. He's saying it. You know, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you know what? I think it's possible because he's getting rid of that one faction of black hats. But yet, I mean, at the same time, he's escalating build up of tension in North Korea, Ukraine, Iran, all these places, now the Middle East. So, you know, what I'm thinking is this is what they call Israel can be seen as the little horn and Trump a proxy of Israel. And what they might be building up to is trying to get the masses to follow them by showing us that we're kicking out these bad guys. But they escalate tensions so high that they come up with that peace. And then when they say peace, and then sudden destruction. See what I mean? That's what I hate to say it, but that's what it's looking like. It might, you know. What do you think?
I'm having a little trouble following your logic, again, there is no question that what Trump did yesterday has inflamed the entire Middle East. And we still don't know what the repercussions are really going to be, especially when you've got Turkey saying that somewhere a little over a week from now, everybody's going to get together and decide what they're going to do, which implies that something is going to be done about Israel and Jerusalem. And it may be with all of these Arab Muslim nations forming an alliance with Palestine. And coming on in and starting another war over that little patch of ground underneath the Fort Antonio. At that point, Israel will start to use their nuclear weapons. And we'll all say, see, we told you Israel did have nuclear weapons. And all that money that the American taxpayer was forced to give them was illegal under U.S. law. So we'll see what's going to happen. Anyway, Curtis, I'm going to let you go. We're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to close the phone lines. James in Ohio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Two things. I'll make it brief. First is that Trump may be taking a page from Matt Lauer's playbook. Reports are that he has had a button installed under his desk, but instead of locking the door, it opens a trap door in front of his desk. And I would be worried if I was Jared Kushner, because reports also state that he's had Ross Perot over to discuss what Jewish son-in-laws do for your presidency. Number two, Maxine Waters said that the threat to Guam by ballistic missiles is a red herring. She believes that North Korea will simply invade Guam and thereby, of course, capsizing it. So,
okay. Well.
Okay. Well.
Thanks.
All right.
Valiant effort at humor.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We really do have to let you go, and the phone lines are closed until further notice, because I really do need to get back to the news now. Interesting little article has just come on out. Apparently, a search of the WikiLeaks archive has uncovered evidence that Huma Abedin also lied under oath. And apparently, when she was being interviewed, by Peter Strzok, she claimed that, Cheryl Mills, not Huma Abedin. Cheryl Mills came on out and said that she was completely unaware that Hillary Clinton was using a private server until after Hillary Clinton left the State Department. And this was in 2016, she said this. But WikiLeaks has discovered an email that Cheryl Mills received and then forwarded back to herself so she could save it. And basically, the email says right at the bottom, sent using the U.S. Department of State BlackBerry server. Now, the reason this is important is because the State Department itself does not really get into using what's called these virtual BlackBerry networks. Cheryl Mills did and Hillary Clinton did. But the U.S. Department of State doesn't really have a BlackBerry server itself. It was set up. And again, there are indications Imran Awan and his associates may have been involved in this as well. Now, again, behind the whole Hillary Clinton email server scandal, I have been asking a very significant question. Based on the prior events of 1994, the ChinaGate scandal, in which then-President Bill Clinton used his authority as president to authorize the sale of militarily sensitive technology to China, and at the same time, Chinese money was funneled through Chinese-American citizens into Bill Clinton's reelection campaign. It is reasonable to ask the question, was Hillary Clinton selling U.S. secrets to foreign parties using her weak email server to deliver the information and her charitable foundation to collect and launder the money? And then after that comes another question. Because of the Imran Awan scandal, investigators are now saying it appears there was a massive spy operation going on right inside the Capitol building, spying on the representatives, spying on the senators. What is not being dealt with right now is who basically set that up, who the Imrans were working for. Was it an extension of Hillary Clinton's spy operation? And that's why this is getting really, really touchy. We're going to do a shout out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Now, here's an interesting story. And this came out of Pop News Magazine. And it has to deal with the fact, and we all know that this happened. Remember when James Comey was handing out all of these immunity deals to all of Hillary Clinton's associates in exchange for turning over their electronic devices? And then Hillary and her people got a couple of very strange concessions from the FBI. The first concession was that the FBI agreed they would not search any emails after January 31st, 2015. Now, that's significant because that's when the story about the private server broke. And so any emails that would have proved an attempt to obstruct justice on that issue would have been on these devices after January 31st. But the FBI said, no, we're not going to look there. And the second concession was that the FBI agreed that once they had gone through the emails and other data on these devices, they were going to be destroyed so that nobody else could look at them. Can you say cover up? I knew you could. So we're starting to hear talk about an investigation into just how the FBI and the Department of Justice under Obama handled the email server investigation. And as we get deeper and deeper into it, we find that the FBI basically destroyed the evidence that the new investigators would need. Now, last year, Judicial Watch uncovered documents showing that when Huma Abedin was under oath, she testified that the secret private email system was all Hillary Clinton's idea. Remember when Hillary was trying to play dumb about computers? Oh, I don't know about computers. What do you mean, wipe the drive? You mean with a dust cloth or something? The more I hear, the more I think that, yes, in point of fact, Hillary Clinton, while serving as United States Secretary of State, was running an espionage operation, selling the take to foreign interests in exchange for campaign donations for her run for the White House. Now, here's another interesting little story, and this goes back to Harvey Weinstein. Because when the Clintons were out there campaigning back in 2008, and Weinstein was out there throwing fundraisers and donating a lot of money and these flashy parties and everything, basically Bill and Hillary Clinton's team were warned repeatedly about Harvey Weinstein from Lena Dunham and Tina Brown, and basically said, you've got to know, Harvey's a rapist. It's going to come out, and you don't want to be associated with him when it does. And the Clintons ignored that, and they went on ahead. But they knew. They knew what this guy was all about. And they still said, okay, that's fine. I mean, I guess from Hillary's point of view, you know, what's the difference between Harvey Weinstein and what Bill was doing? She could live with it with Bill. She could live with it with Harvey. Another little story. This is out of the Huffington Post, and it talks about what Donna Brazile left out of the Democratic National Committee story. Now, as you know, Brazile's coming out with that book in which she's trying to say this is all what happened. And the one really juicy thing that came out of there was the idea that the Hillary Clinton campaign basically took control of the Democratic National Committee in August of 2015 when the DNC was hopelessly broke, because Obama had left them in debt from his election and hadn't done a lot of fundraising on their behalf to clear the coffers. So Hillary came on in with a whole bunch of money, took on over, and said, we're going to be calling the shots. The DNC is on an allowance, and you will do what we say. That's Donna Brazile's story, and that was considered a shock. But apparently, it's come on out that months earlier, almost to the very beginning of 2015, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was then the DNC chair, asked for Clinton loyalists to come on in and run the party's election strategy. So Hillary and her people were running the DNC much earlier than Donna Brazile admitted. Now, Bloomberg News has had to correct their story. They came on out. We saw it earlier in the week about how the Mueller investigation had subpoenaed Deutsche Bank records for President Trump and his family. And it was all over the news. The corporate media ran with it. And then Trump's attorneys came on out and said, no, there have been no such subpoenas to Deutsche Bank involving the Trump family. Well, Bloomberg had to back on up and redo the story and say that the subpoena is for bank records that pertain to people affiliated with Trump. Now, that's a big difference. It's still a fishing expedition that Mueller is on. But that was a big, huge mistake or a fabrication by Bloomberg trying to make it look like, yes, we've almost got him now. We're going to get Trump. They've been saying that for months now. There's going to be a smoking gun. We've got him now. We're going to get him to court. We're going to get him impeached, which they tried earlier in the week. That got shot down. Now, speaking of the Huffington Post, we need to be very careful where the line is between the corporate media and the independent media. And just because media is on the internet doesn't mean they are not corporate. And according to a Tuesday report from The Outline, news outlets such as Forbes, Fast Company, and The Huffington Post take payments from corporations in exchange for positive coverage. Outline reporter John Christian claimed that brands have constructed elaborate payment schemes in exchange for popular news coverage in outlets like Mashable, Business Insider, and Entrepreneur. And people involved with the payoffs don't want to discuss them, obviously. But four contributing writers to prominent publications said that they personally accepted payments in exchange for weaving promotional references to brands into their work on those sites. And they've been doing it for years. So, another story, this one out of True Pundit, as long as we're talking about sexual harassment and Al Franken stepping down and Weinstein and all the rest of it. Apparently, when Robert Mueller and then James Comey were heads of the FBI, they were dealing with a surging and troubling amount of sexual misconduct complaints filed by violated female FBI agents. And basically, both Mueller and Comey just covered it all up. So there is a culture of corruption in the FBI. Or probably to be more accurate, the FBI is a culture of corruption. Certainly the way they were behaving to protect Hillary Clinton indicates that. Now, getting on over into the war zones here, Syrian forces are continuing to just clean out the last nooks and crannies of all the ISIS and Al-Qaeda fighters. There's an interesting article that came out of Zero Hedge where Donald Trump has reportedly ordered Saudi Arabia to immediately end their Yemen blockade. And this is a hard one to figure on out. Now, prior to the assassination of Yemen's former president, the word was out in the media that Saudi Arabia was tired. They were ready to quit. And they've since gone back in with heavy air bombardment. But now with Saudi Arabia angry at Donald Trump over this Jerusalem issue, they may be thinking about just pulling on out. And so Donald Trump may be issuing this statement to make it look like it was his idea that Saudi Arabia is going to quit and go home. That's my read on this. Remember, the goal here for the U.S. government is not necessarily to win a war, but not to have to admit they've lost one. That's why they're still keeping forces in Syria. That's why they're pouring more forces into Afghanistan. They may not be able to win these things. They just don't want to have to admit they've lost, because that will take the wind out of the sails of the ship of state, which these days happens to be a warship. Now, over in Israel, their cell phones have a special application that warns of rocket attacks. And the Siren app went on off and said rockets were being fired into Israel near the Gaza Strip. And the IDF said the red alert is enabled in Haf Ashkelon. And the IDF is claiming, reporting, that two missiles were launched from the Gaza Strip towards the state of Israel, but did not reach it. No talk of an interception. More likely, they're bottle rockets that simply fell into the dirt on the wrong side of the fence. But now Israel has the justification to go back in and yet again bomb Gaza into the dust. Now, Israel also has launched their own surprise military drill. They did it just ahead of Trump's Jerusalem speech and after their most recent strikes in Syria. So maybe they wanted to be on the ready in case there really was a major flare-up following the announcement of Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Now, getting on over into Korea, and this one actually made the corporate media. North Korea is saying right now that it's no longer a matter of if, but of when. And North Korea is saying that U.S. constant warmongering makes a potential nuclear war inevitable. North Korea views the endless military drills on its borders and the repeated bellicose remarks by top officials as a means to provoke a nuclear war in the region. And it certainly sounds to me like they're right, because if you look over the last 16 years of war, we know who the aggressor is. The corporate media is always there to say, oh, well, this leader deserved it. He was a bad guy. He had nuclear weapons. He had sarin gas. We have a duty to go on in and protect those poor people, which we never actually do. We go on in and we bomb those poor people, and then we call it collateral damage. And now, of course, we have this intensifying situation in the Middle East, thanks to President Trump. So it does look like it is only a matter of time before we're well and truly into World War III. All we're missing is the big news-making event, the sinking of the Lusitania, the attack on Pearl Harbor, where everybody will wake up and say, oh, I guess all these little wars all over the planet, it's now one big giant world war. And obviously, we should be very concerned over Christmas, because there's been a lot of propaganda from known propaganda outlets about how the Muslims are going to attack the Vatican. They're going to go after the Pope. So these are very dark times. And I have to tell you, there are days when doing this job really becomes very, very difficult. And unfortunately, this is one of them. Anyway, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And apparently, our control room is getting a lot of people calling in and saying, when will the phone lines be open again? So we're probably going to open them at the top of the hour. And I think by then I'll have gotten most of the important stories out to you. And the next story we're going to talk about here comes out of Russia Today. And it's talking about this new technology of being able to edit genes. And it goes by the name Gene Drive. And basically, it's a gene editing technology that can alter global ecosystems by altering the life forms within them. And a lot of people have been wondering, what was this all about? And apparently, emails obtained through a Freedom of Information request by the ETC Group, a research and advocacy organization that focuses on ecological and agricultural issues. Apparently, the Pentagon is the top funder of this technology. So they're looking at gene editing as being weaponized. And this is going to make the Russians even more concerned about the fact that the U.S. military has been caught taking DNA samples from people all across Russia, trying to identify and codify the genotypes. So there looks like there is some project for a gene editing weapon. And all I can say is I hope they do a better job with that than they did with the F-35. Because you have a system that edits genes and it makes a mistake, you have no idea what you're going to wind up with. You could have monsters. You could have Nietzsche's Superman. You could have an extinction-level event. All right, let's talk about the economy a little bit. And from womensystems.com, an article about how U.S. corporations are earning record-high profits, probably not from within this country, but they're paying record-low taxes, and that's about to get worse under the new GOP tax plan. But apparently, U.S. businesses have amassed overseas an estimated $2.4 trillion because they're not paying their fair share of taxes. And again, the idea is, the argument always comes down, tax the rich, tax the poor. Well, you know, the rich are more productive. They shouldn't have to pay the same percentage in taxes versus the idea, well, the rich are rich. They should be helping to carry the cost of the nation. Now, my view is a very simple one, and I've stated this before. For an economy to function, for it to perpetuate, to operate smoothly and continuously, there must be currency, money, flowing at all levels of society and into all necessary sectors of investment. There must be some way that the accumulated wealth at the very top gets recycled back down to the bottom and made available to workers who will trade their skills and labor for that money and then pump it back into the economy and keep it going. Now, unfortunately, under our current fascistic system, which is rigged to simply trap all the money, in the top 0.1%, that recycling mechanism is gone. And that's why the American people are rapidly being impoverished, and that entire economic pyramid is beginning to collapse. And for some strange reason, the wizards of Wall Street in Washington, D.C. fail to grasp a very simple concept. Before you can get money from the people, you have to create a situation in which those people can earn that money to begin with before they give it to you. It's a very simple concept, but maybe the ultra-rich are blinded by their own wealth. They're looking around and saying, well, things are good for me. They must be good for everybody else. It's not true. It's like Buddha when he was raised in the royal palace. He had to leave the palace and go on out and see what life was really like before he understood what was going wrong. That Buddha on the road moment. Now, poor Jeff Bezos, he's no longer a centibillionaire. And apparently, for 2 days, Jeff Bezos was worth $100 billion. It hit on Cyber Monday, Amazon shares soared. And then on Wednesday, when the stock came back down, his net worth fell back to $98 billion. My heart bleeds for his loss. Let's all feel bad for Jeff Bezos and his suffering. I'm sure that he's crying and rolling around on the floor even now. Interesting little story. Up in Vancouver, there was this employer who stole nearly $3 million in wages from 157 employees. His punishment was a fine of $500 by British Columbia's employment watchdog. By golly, that's going to teach him. That'll set an example and a deterrent not to cheat your own employees. $500, boy, that's painful. Now, Illinois just issued a series of bonds which have been rated AAA. That has got a lot of people scratching their head, because Illinois is nearly insolvent. But apparently they worked out some kind of corporate financing structure through Goldman Sachs that makes Illinois look really good. And before you all buy on into it, remember it was the similar deal that Goldman Sachs did with Greece under Papandreou that made Greece look a lot better than it really was. And then they got into some serious trouble. We'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof. Pay for a drink if you gotta have proof. Just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the economy. Now, last Saturday in the wee hours of the morning, the Senate finally passed the GOP tax bill, and it was notorious for being filled with all kinds of handwritten notes, some of which were denounced as being illegible, but what the heck, we're in a race, we've got to get this done, and they voted it through anyway. And it turns out that somebody goofed, and there is a mistake in that tax bill that is basically somewhere around the order of $300 billion in effect. And what it has to do is with what's called the corporate alternative minimum tax. Now, this is going to be a little tricky to follow, so I'll try and make it as clear as possible. The alternative minimum tax is a tax that kicks in order to prevent corporations from using deductions or other things to drive their tax bill all the way down to zero. And at one point, it was going to be repealed completely, and then at the last second, they put it back in. So far, so good. The problem is it was put back in at a 20% rate, which now matches the corporate tax rate. And that means that corporations are not going to be able to take advantage of a lot of the incentives that were put in there for things like bringing money back to the shores of the United States from other countries, enhanced spending into research and development. All those incentives are now effectively null and void. because if they go ahead and do them and their tax bill goes below the alternative minimum tax, it's just going to get shoved right back up to that 20%. Whoopsie! Is our face red? In the blueprint for the new America, I think I'm going to add a little instruction that no bill is going to be longer than 10 pages. Because when you get into these bills that are hundreds of pages long, you know there are going to be problems. Look at Obamacare. Amazing. Now, online game smart Steam has stopped accepting Bitcoin payments. And apparently the service is concerned with Bitcoin's volatility. And they say it just makes it too hard to use. And they're saying historically the value of Bitcoin has been volatile, but the degree of volatility has become extreme, losing as much as 25% in value over a period of days. And that's a problem because when you're checking out on Steam, a customer will transfer X amount of Bitcoin for the cost of the game plus Y amount of Bitcoin to cover the transaction fee charged by the Bitcoin network. Now, the value of Bitcoin is only guaranteed for a certain period of time. So if the transaction doesn't complete within that window of time, then the amount of Bitcoin needed to cover the transaction can change. Now, if Bitcoin were holding steady, you might figure that it's going to go above as much as it's going to go below. And certainly at the moment, it's heading up. But again, it does look to me like it's being manipulated. And I'm getting a smell of tulips. And I know in responding to some of our callers, we did set up a Bitcoin link on my website. We've collected 1/100th of a Bitcoin, and thank you to those anonymous donors. I still have no idea what I could do with it, but it's there. There's another problem, though, because apparently NiceHash was a company that is the largest crypto mining exchange, and it is admitting it was hacked and $62 million in Bitcoin stolen and transferred away. $62 million. So there is another problem with the system being all on computers and computers being vulnerable, thanks to the NSA and the CIA's backdoors, that you could burn up a dozen computers mining a whole bunch of bitcoins and they could just simply not be there the next day because they're in the control of that computer somewhere else. We need to go back to having a store of value, a monetary unit that you can have in your hand, in your pocket, under your control, a silver dollar. That's how this country started. If you have a silver dollar in your pocket, hackers can't get at it. And by the way, another reminder for those of you who are going out during this Christmas shopping season, you need to be very careful about your credit cards that have those RFID chips in them, because apparently hackers have reduced the size of their little sniffers, where they'll be walking past people in the mall just snarfing off credit card and banking details. It used to be a backpack. Not anymore. Handheld device. So either get one of those wallets that is an RFI shield or wrap them in tin foil. And as a common sense thing, you shouldn't have any more credit cards with you than you're actually going to use. Leave the rest at home in a drawer. You know, don't let your ego say, oh, look how thick my wallet is. I've got zigablooms of credit cards out there. Every one of them is a point of vulnerability. You should have at most two credit cards, unless you're running a business. That's really all you need. Don't make yourself a victim, because after all, it is the Christmas shoplifting season. Now, here's another little interesting story. This came out of the Daily Bell, and we all look to the government as the mediator in the transfer of property, that when we put our money into escrow and a deed is put into escrow and there's been a title search and everybody knows that, yes, that person actually owns this home or business, and the escrow will then swap everything and everybody goes home happy. But apparently New York City has an issue with their system. They approved fraudulent papers which allowed a man to officially steal a woman's house. The forged deed was homemade, but the city government still processed it. They said stopping the fake deed from being processed would have been like finding a needle in a haystack. hey, we're already overworked. It's not our fault. And apparently in New York, it's pretty easy to steal somebody's property with forged documents using the government system of verification. And it took years for this woman, Jennifer Marin, to finally get her home back and have this guy thrown in prison. The more they computerize our society, the more complex they make it, the more holes there are for people of bad will to come on in and cause mischief. Now, getting on down to immigration, apparently the Border Patrol made 310,000 arrests during the fiscal year that ended the end of September. That's actually a decline of 25% from the year earlier and the lowest since 1971. Now, despite the decline, border arrests increased every month since May, largely families and unaccompanied children, which is becoming an overused term because a lot of these people being called unaccompanied children, so they can qualify for various special government programs, they're actually young adults here. Meanwhile, deportation arrests are soaring, and that's a good thing. And ICE, whose offices pick up people for deportation, made 143,000 arrests. That's an increase of 25% from a year earlier. So that's looking really good. Now, this issue of refugees in Europe is really getting out of hand. And story out of Express in Great Britain. Apparently, German pilots who were assigned to fly aircraft to take rejected asylum seekers back home refused. They simply said, I'm not taking the plane. I believe these people should be here. 200 flights were grounded because the pilots refused to fly these failed asylum seekers back home. Frankly, if I was the airline involved, I would fire those pilots. That's not their job to make these decisions about immigration and refugee status. Also in Germany, apparently reading out news about migrants is now seen as a crime in and of itself by the left. And apparently AfD politician Rainer Rahn of the Frankfurt City Council was sued for racial incitement by the left-wing faction leader of Die Linke, Martin Klein. And the reason for the lawsuit? Because Rahn had read 30 newspaper headlines out loud about the crimes and rapes that are being committed by the migrants in the city. Now, analysts are looking at this situation. They're looking at the German people's upset over the migrant issue. They're looking at the German people's upset over the abuses of the European Union. Merkel has been unable to form a coalition government. And analysts are saying that basically the days of Angela Merkel and popular German politics, as opposed to populist German politics, are clearly numbered. Angela Merkel will not regain her lost political might. This is from a German political analyst. Now, here's an example of the headlines, which if you read them out in Germany, you will be in serious, serious trouble. Apparently, last summer, in the Fatia area of the Swedish capital, 20 men gang-raped a woman, grabbed her, took her in a stairwell, and they were all migrants from Somalia and Iraq. And according to the victim, the migrants were discussing who would get to use her first. And apparently, they literally had a line waiting for their turn. And they smashed the woman's head against the staircase, threatened her with a knife. And apparently, when the police arrested them, the attacker said the entire thing was just a fun joke. Yeah, it was fun. That's all we were doing. We were just having fun. Polls are showing the majority of Europeans are favoring a total ban on Islamic immigration. There is understandably a concern over terrorism, but more and more it's because these migrants who are coming on in are refusing to assimilate are instead demanding that the societies they've just come on into in Europe start to adopt Islamic law, Islamic mannerism, Islamic morals and behavior. Well, if the country you came from was all that great, why are you here in the first place? But it's been a tremendous amount of friction, and the majority of Europeans are now saying there should be a total ban. Meanwhile, the European Union remains committed to opening the borders to 75 million Turkish citizens as soon as possible. Now, the European Union is basically giving Turkish citizens visa-free travel anywhere in the European Union bloc, as well as handing 3 billion euros to migrants in the nation by next year. The EU is taking better care of the migrants than it is of the Europeans, and the Europeans are noticing it. Meanwhile, Ireland is surprised and disappointed over the stalled European Union and Great Britain talks. And Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar is saying he's disappointed that the British government could not reach a deal with the EU after Brexit talks on the Irish border fell short of an agreement. Now, the issue here is that Theresa May is between a rock and a hard place. The EU is demanding more from Great Britain, more divorce payment, more concessions, more agreements to sort of still have a tenuous link to the EU over and above that of two partnering nation states. Meanwhile, Theresa May's own backers and government are saying, we've already given them way too much. So she's between a rock and a hard place, and everybody is standing firm. Now, here is a very bizarre story, getting on back to the FBI. Former Assistant Director for Counterintelligence at the FBI, C. Frank Figliuzzi, wrote in a piece for NBC News that halting immigration is not who we are and that Americans must adjust to terrorism. Terrorism, apparently, in Frank's view, is a small price to pay for the glories of the New World Order and the global government. And let's be honest, a constant stream of terrorists justifies increased funding for the FBI, doesn't it? I mean, if there was no terror, what would the FBI do besides harassing political demonstrators? Now, another article, this out of Russia Today. Germany's foreign minister is saying the world order is clearly changing. He's right on that. The role of the United States as a dominant world leader is fading. Now, he says it's under the Trump administration. On that, I do not agree. It's been fading for a long time, going on back to starting wars with lies 16 years ago. And, of course, the weakness of the U.S. dollar. And Germany's foreign minister is bemoaning the fact that the world is not turning to the European Union, and in particular Germany, as the new dominant superpower. Where have I heard that thinking before about Germany being the dominant power? 1918, I think, something like that, maybe. All right. Apparently, the Polish government put up a video on YouTube showing the disaster of the migrant problem, which is described as catastrophic, the property damage, the assaults. YouTube censored it. You are not supposed to know about any of that. Now, this next story I'm going to give you, I promise you it is not an April Fool's joke, especially because this is December 7th, the day that will live in infamy. Up in Sweden, and I got to tell you, Sweden, they are nuts up there. I used to think it was a nice country. Not anymore. Up in Sweden, there was an Eritrean migrant who shot a man in the leg while calling him a racist, for which he was arrested and charged. The court freed him because they said they could not prove that the Eritrean migrant knew the gun would fire a bullet when he pulled the trigger. I am not kidding you. That was the justification, that this guy didn't have an understanding that when you pull the trigger on the gun, it's going to go bang. This one is even sillier than that case over in San Francisco in terms of the extreme forgiveness of the migrants being shown by the courts in order to protect the open border agenda. That's what it's about. It's not about this migrant. It's not about the illegal immigrant. It's about not giving opponents to open borders political ammunition to stand up and say, look, this is not working. Now, San Diego is continuing their attempt to control this major hepatitis A outbreak. and apparently it emerged among the homeless population. And what they're doing is they're setting up this giant tent camp. And these are industrialized size tents that house a large number of people. And they're going to just have everybody living in there and treat them as, I guess, BSL-1. But the reason the outbreak is spreading is primarily from the fact of the homeless people having to relieve themselves on the streets of San Diego, from which it will then spread to other homeless and to even non-homeless. So they got a big problem down there. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're just now getting word. And I don't want to gloat here or anything, and it's not like he doesn't have other homes, but apparently Rupert Murdoch's home in California just fell victim to the wildfires out there. And so they really are out of control. And I do feel bad for the people who are losing their homes, who do not have the means to easily replace them. because we know that they're not going to get a lot of help from the federal government, just like we saw with Hurricane Katrina. Well, you know, force of nature, you know, these things happen. Should have had fire insurance. Now then, apparently there is a big stink going on between Ethiopia and Egypt. And apparently Addis Ababa is building a major dam on the Blue Nile River. And the concern by Egypt is that Ethiopia would then be in a position to control downstream Egypt's access to this vital resource and then place Egypt in a strategically vulnerable position. And Ethiopia's come on back saying they will not be thwarted in carrying out what they see as a nationally important development project. And it denied the rumors which claimed that Qatar was partially funding the dam. So there's a lot of tension over there. Every time you build a dam, it's going to affect what's happening both in the immediate upstream area of the dam and certainly downstream. And that can become an issue between countries. Egypt is dependent on that Nile. It's a vital resource. It's not just some little stream that's being inconvenienced. It's a major issue. And if Egypt and Ethiopia were to come to hostilities, then as much as the dam was able to hold, they could shut off the flow downstream. Remember during World War II, there was a special squad of aircraft called the Dam Busters that went on in, and that was their target. They would destroy dams in Germany, which were also, of course, electrical power generating stations. Now, here's a story, and this is coming out of Common Core. Apparently, the state of California is now being sued because so few of their public school children can read. And apparently, a survey at one elementary school in California, 96% of the students were not proficient in either English or math. And it's a reminder, the more the federal government gets involved in education, the worse it seems to get. At one time, the United States had the greatest system of public education on the entire planet. And I'm lucky that I was born in an age where that was still in existence. We've heard about the dumbing down of America, Common Core, and it's one of the reasons why I predict that corporations that do get financial gain from the new tax plan, they'll invest it in other countries with more skilled labor pools. Who's going to be able to build any kind of a manufacturing business or high technology business when the workers coming through the door can't handle basic math or even speak English properly? We're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, and we'll be back for hour number three.
Worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.